Jazz's Backstage Pass in the Concord Spotlight. Let's do it. Hey everybody, I'm your host Brian Zimmerman. Welcome to a very special edition of Jazz's Backstage Pass. You see, all month long we'll be presenting stories and interviews about some of the incredible artists over at Concord Records, a label that plays an essential role in keeping jazz's rich artistic traditions alive. Founded in 1973 by Charles Jefferson, Concord Jazz is synonymous with high-quality jazz, becoming the home to such legends as Art Blakey, Ray Brown, Charlie Byrd, Rosemary Clooney, Stan Getz, and Mel Torme. It keeps that tradition alive today with the likes of Chick Corea, Esperanza Spalding, Dave Koz, and so many more. That's why we're so happy to be sharing these stories with you. We're calling it the Concord Spotlight, and we hope you'll join us. Now, when it comes to Concord artists, no one has been involved with the label longer than the legendary percussionist and vocalist Pancho Sanchez, a true pioneer of Latin jazz. Born in Texas in 1951, Pancho's career took off in the mid-1970s when he was asked to join the world-famous Latin jazz ensemble led by vibraphonist Cal Jader. Pancho performed with him until Jader's untimely death in 1982. A year later, in 1983, Pancho began a relationship with Concord Records that lasted to this day, resulting in more than two dozen recordings, a Grammy Award, and several Grammy nominations. On his latest project, Train's Delight, Pancho celebrates the life and music of the iconic saxophonist John Coltrane. Due out September 20th via Concord Picante, Train's Delight is a love letter from one musical pioneer to another, as the Latin jazz legend pays homage to one of his earliest and most indelible influences. We're actually listening to Pancho's cover of Blue Train right now. The album arrives just in time for the late tenor titan's 93rd birthday, which, jazz fans, happens to be on September 23rd. We recently spoke with Pancho at the 50th annual Concord Jazz Festival in Concord, California. That's the festival that started it all. Pancho was performing material from the new album, and we sat down with him backstage to discuss the monumental influence that Coltrane had on his life. Pancho is an amazing artist and a captivating storyteller. We know you're going to love this podcast, and it wouldn't be possible without the help of Concord Records, the home of jazz heritage. If you'd like to check out all the amazing Concord releases coming out right now, visit their website at concord.com. All right, let's take it backstage with Pancho Sanchez.
Yeah, man. Excited for the new album. I just got the press release for the new album. I listened to it a little bit. It's great, dude. It's amazing. Tribute to John Coltrane. It's called Train's Delight. And from what I read in the press notes, man, this guy was an early, early idol for you. I believe Coltrane, that was the first album you ever bought with your own money, yes?
Yeah, because see, I'm the youngest of 11, so I had a lot of records handed down to me from my brothers and sisters. But the first one that I bought with my own money was the album called Coltrane.
Yeah.
And that's the first one I bought with my own money. And I never forget the cover. It's blue.
Yep.
And it has a picture of John Coltrane's, just his face and the neck of the saxophone. Man, that record is badass, man. And from the minute I put the needle on the record, the first song is Out of This World.
Okay.
And John Coltrane just takes off, you know what I mean? And it was beautiful. I mean, I was almost in shock when I first put that on. I was in the seventh grade or something. Put it on, and then I thought it was his song, and he titled it Out of This World because he plays Out of This World. But then later on, I found out it's an old standard.
You know? Yeah, but he took it out of this world.
Oh, man, you better believe that. Man. And John Coltrane was so great. He didn't even have to solo. Just him playing the... Actually, there's a couple of tunes where he just does play the melody, and then somebody else takes a solo. I'm trying to remember the tune. But he don't have to take a solo. Well, if he does, then you're in heaven, you know, but I mean, just the way he plays the melody is John Coltrane, you know? what I mean?
Right, right, right. And from what I understand, I mean, huge mentor for you. You would shed his music. I understand that I read one story. I think you even wanted to eat exactly what he ate. What's that story all about?
Yeah, yeah. Well, what happened is that I stayed home from school, and he, the disc jockey, interviewed him on the radio on the jazz station in Los Angeles. KBCA.
Okay.
105 on your FM dial. And that was the jazz station when I was a kid in Los Angeles. And the guy interviewed him, and it wasn't a very long interview, but the very end, he goes, "Hey, John, before you leave, could I ask you, what's your favorite food?" So my ear grew about this big, yeah. You know what I mean? And I got close to my little transistor radio, you know what I mean? Like that,
yeah.
Got real close to it, and he said, "Sweet potato pie." Right. And I thought, wow, sweet potato pie. I don't know about that. You know what I mean? I thought he was going to say, you know, beef ribs or fried chicken or something, and I would have ate that for months and years.
Yeah.
But it ends up, he said, sweet potato pie. After it was over, I went to in the kitchen. My mother, she spoke mostly just Spanish, so I asked her, "Do you know how to make sweet potato pie?" And she said, "¿Qué es eso?" Which means, what is that?
Right.
You know, what is that? I said, "It's pie made with sweet potatoes." And she goes, "I can't make you that, but I can make you camote." In Spanish, it's called camote. It's sweet potatoes. And you put them in the oven for about an hour, and they get nice and soft, and then you squash them, squash it, skin and all. You squash it, and you put a little honey and a little milk.
Yeah, it's sweet. You'll be playing like Coltrane.
Yeah, man. You know, it's sweet potato pie without the crust is what it is.
Yeah.
And I ate that for 2 weeks every single day, you know what I mean? And the thing I tell people is, thank God he didn't say dog food,
because
I would have went and bought a bag of dog food, and I would have ate it.
Yeah, whatever it takes, man. Well, how about musically? I mean, you know, were you gigging at the time? Were you playing guitar, or did you fully transition to percussion at this time?
No, I haven't even touched a conga yet, man. I was playing the guitar a little bit and the drum set a little bit. And I was a singer. I was a lead vocalist of a band, rhythm and blues, rock and roll soul band.
And what is it you took from Coltrane's style that you could apply to your own? You know what I mean? You mentioned kind of that energy, that sound. What was it about that Coltrane sound?
It's just, of course, I don't play saxophone,
right.
But a lot of the saxophone players who have played with me, I like when they play, have the sound of John Coltrane, the style, and that kind of thought. But for myself, I think of certain John Coltrane licks or John Coltrane solos when I'm taking a solo on a conga drum. So, you know, it's not exactly the same thing,
right.
But I adapt some of the ideas that I got from John Coltrane when I solo. Sometimes I think of some of those lines that he would play and try to emulate some of that stuff on a conga drum. But I think it's just the fact that that the sound that he had, it sounds like... what can I tell you, man? When I was a kid, I'd hear the John Coltrane sound. He sounded different than everybody else. It sounded like good things are going to happen. You know what I mean?
Yeah, man.
It sounded like life to me, or it felt good. It sounded like good things was coming. You know what I mean? That's how much I was into it.
Right on, man. Right on. You know, flash forward to the now, you're obviously adapting, arranging all of these Coltrane tunes to your own kind of idiom. Coltrane did Olé, you know, and there was, you know, Africa Brass that would kind of had some Latin influence, sort of. But did you find in his, like, sound, his rhythm, his style, anything where you could point to and be like, oh, man, that's, I could hear the clave in that, you know, I could hear the son in that?
Well, you know, some tunes lend themselves to play Latin style, and some tunes really don't, you know what I mean? And, of course, that's where Francisco Torres, my musical director, he comes in very importantly, because he has suggested tunes. Mm-hmm. Said, "Man, Poncho, I think this tune will work great, like Liberia."
Yeah.
I had the tune, but I never thought of doing Liberia. Francisco Torres brought me that, and he said, "Man, that I think it'll work, man, as a mambo, you know."
Yeah.
So sure enough, he played it for me a little bit, because at my house, I, of course, congas, and I have a piano at the house, and Francisco comes over from time to time, and we write tunes together or whatever. And he played it for me. I said, "Yeah, I mean, man, that sounds cool to me." So Francisco did a beautiful arrangement on it. Did the arrangement, we brought it to the rehearsal, and of course we do it at the rehearsal, and then we tweak it. You know what I mean? Like, right. Oh, you know, maybe we should add a part here or take that part out, or you know what I mean, whatnot. You kind of clean it up or dress it up nicely for when we're going to do it live, you know? So actually Francisco gets credit for that. He brought me that tune. And then like Andy Langham, the piano player in my band, he just brought a tune because I told him we're going to do a tribute to John Coltrane. Not all John Coltrane tunes, but I need a 6-8 number, African 6-8 number.
Okay.
So he brought the tune Sube, which means to go up, Sube. And he called it Up and Up. And I told him, well, I don't know if I like Up and Up. But I said, I told him, do you like Sube or a Subir? And he goes, what does that mean? I go, it means to go up and up, you know, up. So he goes, that's great, let's leave it at that. So, and what we did with Sube, Andy's tune, it's pretty simple melody, but I started thinking and hearing stuff. So Francisco Torres and myself, we added stuff in there.
Okay.
I started telling Francisco, you know what, it needs maybe a bata or a checkerist for sure. We put the checkerist in there, and I got some talking drums, African talking drums. So Joey De Leon and myself, we started practicing a little bit on those talking drums. So Joey's playing one and I'm playing the other one, and we do some talking drum solos from the African talking drums. A lot of different African percussion bells and stuff. And then I added my friend Cornelius Duncan. He played that kalimba or...
The thumb piano?
Yeah. Thumb piano, or whatever it's called. Yeah, and Cornelius... is really not a professional musician, but I seen him play it one time on YouTube. I said, Cornelius, I didn't know you could play that thing like that. So it's funny, when we recorded that tune, we were on the phone at my house in Los Angeles, and he was in Denver in the studio recording it. So we were doing it over the phone, you know what I mean? Checking to see if it was a... So, but you gotta... And that's how you put things together.
Exactly.
It all worked together. But the John Coltrane thing, like I said, there's about 3 John Coltrane tunes, and then other tunes that were related to John Coltrane, like Duke Ellington's Feeling of Jazz. You know, that's not John Coltrane's tune, but he recorded that with Duke Ellington, that one record they did together. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So we take those ideas like that and try to do it our style.
Nice, man. It's coming out on Concord Picante, right?
Right.
Which is a label you've been with almost as long as there has been a Concord Picante, right?
Yeah, I was the third person to sign on the Concord Picante. They made the label for Cal J, the Concord Picante. Second person to sign with them was Tanya Maria.
Okay.
And I signed like a year later. So, and everybody came after me. I'm talking about Tito Puente, Mongo, Barrett, everybody from Unconquered, the Latin Jazz came after I signed. You know what I mean? And way after, too, about 6-7 years after.
Right. And it was Cal who initially brought you on, right?
Number one. They made that branch for Cal Jader.
He was a major influence on you as well, man. What did you take from Cal and his work? I know that's hard to sum up.
Yeah, it's hard, man. But Cal was the greatest, man. First of all, he's a sweetheart of a man, beautiful man. And to me, God made him to play vibes better than anybody. I didn't say faster or more progressive. Mm. He just played pretty. Mm. He knew how to play the vibes. He knew how to lay that mallet on the vibes.
Right.
He had his own sound, his own style, and he played really pretty, man. Now, Cal was the best. And so I learned a lot by being around Cal. I was with him for 7.5 years. I toured all over the world with him. And I learned a lot just by hanging out around him in the daytime, you know, walking around the different cities we'd be at, just the way he approached people and the way he approached music. I learned a lot just by being around him more than, you know, sitting down in a classroom and this is the way you do it. You know what I'm saying? I learned just more by just being around him. I learned a lot of great things. And Cal had a great knack of picking standards and playing them Latin style. Cause like I said, once again, some of them lend themselves to the clave and some of them don't, you know what I mean?
Right.
And so we're here, 30, 40 plus years later, still recording with Concord at the Concord Jazz Festival after a 15-year hiatus celebrating their 50th anniversary. What does this label do so well, man? What is it about this label?
Well, I remember when they were just down the street in a little house over there, you know what I mean?
After the car dealership.
Yeah, exactly, man, yeah. I remember that place, you know, and it was a big deal. Then they got the little garage added to it. Like, wow, now it's getting big, you know what I mean? So I've been around them a long time. I have the seniority on Concord Record Label, you know what I mean? And It's been great. I mean, to see a little small record company end up being, Concord owns everything now. I mean, Prestige, Fania, Stax Records. I mean, they own everything now. And I remember when they started right down the street over here, you know what I mean? So, I mean, that's a blessing, man. That's a beautiful thing. And as long as it's a good thing for jazz, that's what I like.
Dig it, man. Pancho, thank you so much for sitting down with us. We really appreciate it.
Thank you very much.
All right, and that does it for another episode of Jazz's Backstage Pass in the Concord Spotlight. We hope you enjoyed it. Thanks again to our guest, Pancho Sanchez. His new album, Train's Delight, will be due out September 20th on Concord Picante. Thanks also to this episode's sponsors, Concord Jazz, Concord Music Group. Without them, this series wouldn't be possible. We hope you'll join us next week as we sit down with perhaps one of the most iconic Concord artists of all time, Chick Corea. He's got a new album out on the label right now. It's a celebration of flamenco music. It's called Antidote. And on the new episode, we'll talk all about it, as well as his globetrotting jazz adventures. We hope you'll join us. Thanks a lot, everyone. We'll see you next time. Thank you.